Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to any who might be on the video stream as well. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn once more to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're nearing the end of our trek through the Lord's Prayer. This morning we come to the sixth and final petition. And Lord willing, next week we'll consider the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. There is an outline if you'd like to use that as you follow along. I'm going to read verse 5 down through verse 13 of Matthew chapter 6, but our focus this morning is on the first part of verse 13. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, people of God, please hear now the word of our God. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stop and pray together. Father in heaven, as we have just read, you know the things we have need of before we ask you. And Lord, we have need of your word and hearing from you this morning, because there are many temptations that befall us, and we need to know how to pray and how to live by faith. Lord, we pray that you would, as we've just sung from Psalm 25, that you would instruct us in your paths and make us know your way. Teach us and make us follow you, that in your truth we will stay. Lord God, I pray in particular that as we've been studying this prayer, that this would not just be an intellectual exercise, but that we might actually be praying more and praying more fervently and praying more like Jesus taught us to pray as a result of these weeks in your word and in the Lord's Prayer. Use this to bring fruit in our lives and to build your kingdom and to hallow your name, and give us focused minds and receptive hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, take up your sword and use it amongst your people. Feed your flock, Lord Jesus. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to the sixth and final petition of the Lord's Prayer this morning, I want to recap just very briefly where we've been so far. Jesus has taught that prayer is a sincere act of faith addressed to God, who is our Father in heaven. And he began this model prayer with three petitions focused primarily on God, his honor, his glory, his purposes. And then he concludes the prayer with three petitions focused on us, on man, and our weaknesses and our needs. The fourth and fifth petition sought provision and pardon from the Father. And now this morning, the sixth petition seeks the Father's protection. That's one way you can think of the last half of the Lord's Prayer. We seek provision, we seek pardon, and then we seek protection. Lead us not into temptation. Protect us, Father, because we are spiritually weak. Because we're God's children doesn't mean that we've been delivered from sin. We still battle sin. We're in a dangerous daily battle with temptation and with Satan. And this petition, this sixth petition, brings our weakness and God's strength together. One writer says, "The realism and self-distrust and humble dependence on God that breathes through this petition is something we all need to learn." And Jesus gave us this petition out of personal experience. He had lived this daily battle. He fought Satan. He was tempted in every way. And he knew that temptation was no minor matter. And if you're here this morning and you think that sin and temptation isn't such a big deal, doesn't need to be so prominent in your prayer, well, not according to Jesus. Here it is in his model prayer, really the climax, the final note. Sin and temptation, according to Jesus, are life and death matters. And he had to come to earth and battle Satan and die on the cross to defeat them. And if we treat sin and temptation lightly, we fail to understand the wickedness and the destructive power of sin and Satan. We fail to understand what our sin deserves and what Christ paid and the cost to us and to others and to the glory of God of not dealing with it biblically. And we become weak and vulnerable. And so, people of God, see the need for this petition in your life. Your Father pardons sin. We've seen that. We've seen that we need to ask Him for that. But He also protects and delivers you from temptation. Jesus is giving these words to you because He loves you and He knows you and He wants to lead and protect you. And so, people of God, seek to live and pray this petition in faith for your good, for the good of those around you, and for God's glory. Father, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, let's look at this more closely together. And to do so, I want to consider four truths that this petition teaches us about temptation or points us towards. First, I want to consider the reality of temptation. Then I want to consider the sources of temptation. Where does temptation come from? Then I want to consider the fighting of temptation, how it is we seek to be led away from it and fight it. And then finally, the conqueror of temptation. How is it that we can have victory over temptation? So first of all, the reality of temptation. Look back at verse 13, the first half. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus gives us these words because of the ongoing reality and threat of temptation. If this wasn't a big deal, if this was not there, he would not have taught us to pray this here in verse 13. But he has. Temptation is a reality. But what exactly is temptation? Well, in this context, temptation is negative. It's a danger. Temptation entices us and allures us away from God. It seeks to induce us to sin. And temptation is different from a test. God can bring testing in his children's lives, testing which God brings a trial or a circumstance in order to humble us or to strengthen our faith or discipline us in law, in love, to ultimately draw us closer to Him. God tests, but he never tempts. Temptation, as it's used here by Jesus, is always meant to draw us away from God, to weaken our faith. It invites us to not do God's will and not seek his glory, as we pray earlier in the prayer. One writer said, temptation is an invitation to sin, an encouragement to engage in something contrary to God's law. And the reality is, temptations are everywhere in the life of a Christian. They are a real, daily, serious threat. And you need to know that. But the way to deal with them is not to dismiss them or downplay them, but to admit their existence, as well as your own weakness and susceptibility to temptation. Your inability often to spot temptation and to resist them in your own strength. The fact that we are God's children now and we are pardoned from all of our sins does not mean that we are not still led into temptation. In fact, being God's children puts a target on our back. Satan knows that he cannot defeat Jesus, and so he goes after the followers of Jesus, especially if we are seeking to love and serve God. William Perkins said that those who are most often tempted are the children of God, those that set themselves to seek his glory, advance his kingdom, do his will, depend on his providence, and rely upon his mercy. Brothers and sisters, are you aware of the reality of temptation? Do you take temptation seriously? Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Corinthians 10:12, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Dear people of God, don't overestimate yourself and underestimate temptation. Recognize the reality of temptation. And that leads us to consider, second, where temptation comes from. We're aware that it's out there, but where does it come from? What are the sources of temptation? Verse 13 again, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, there could be some confusion about this petition because it can seem to almost indicate that God can be a source of temptation, that he leads us into it. But that's not what Jesus is saying here in this petition. The Bible is very clear that God does not tempt us. What we're asking here is that he would keep us from being tempted, not that he would not tempt us. Father, lead us away from temptation. Don't let us go down that path. James 1 verse 13 says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So think of it in this way. God does not produce temptation. God can permit temptation, and he can prevent temptation, but he doesn't produce it. And part of what we're asking of him here in this petition is to prevent us being tempted, to not let us be led into temptation. God can both prevent temptation and permit it, but he does not produce it. But if God is not the source of temptation, then who or what is? Well, there are several sources, both internal and external, and they can be summarized by the familiar but accurate and helpful triad, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Temptations can come from outside of us, first of all, from the world. The world being all that is evil and opposed to God and his kingdom and his glory, including sinful man. Psalm 1 verse 1 talks about how the wicked seek to pull us from God's path with their counsel. Jesus said in John's gospel that the world hates him and hates his followers. The world's cares and persecutions and deceitfulness choke out the seed in the parable of the sower. 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." The Bible warns us against the wisdom of the world that tempts us to deny the faith and question God's truth. The world tempts us in many ways. What ways does it tempt you? How is it trying to lead you into sin and away from God? How is it trying to tempt you this morning? Well, the world is very clever and subtle. Often works slowly and imperceptibly. Bit by bit, it draws you in. And it particularly likes to target the young and the naive. And so, brothers and sisters, beware that temptation comes from the world. But we know also from Scripture that we are tempted from within, from internal temptations, from our sinful flesh, the sinful nature that is still in us that is not yet fully subdued. James chapter 1 goes on after saying that God doesn't tempt, and says in verse 14 and 15 that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. We can be tempted by our own corrupt, deceitful, selfish desires, the desires of the old man, against the Spirit and against God's will. And we need to recognize that not just that we continue to sin, but that sometimes we want to. We still have tempting, sinful desires in our hearts. And it can be easy to blame all temptation as external. It's either the world or Satan. It's not me. It's not within me. The devil made me do it. Where it's those around me. But temptation can come from here. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of our weaknesses, our own tendencies. We need to know our own frailty and desires. And that's not meant to discourage you this morning, because ultimately, if you are in Christ, if you are putting your faith in Him, then you are children of God. You are new creations in Christ. You are a new man, and you are being made new. But it is a process that's not yet complete, your sanctification. And we need to be aware of the biblical reality so that we might fight and pray against temptation and depend on God's help. The third source of temptation is pointed to directly in Jesus' petition, and that is the devil, Satan, the tempter, as he's called. He was the first tempter way back in the garden, and he is still tempting today. And it's clear in the Greek, and it's reflected here in the New King James, that Jesus teaches us to pray, "Deliver us from the evil one." The evil one, Satan, and his servants, the spiritual forces of evil, demons. This is a very real major source of temptation from whom we need to be delivered. And I think we can easily err in two ways regarding this. Either we can overemphasize Satan's power and influence and see him behind every temptation and trouble in life. Or we can minimize his real power and presence and almost ignore him altogether. And that's neither wise or biblical as well. And I think that's often our tendency, for whatever reason, in the Reform world is to minimize the activity of Satan sometimes. But the Bible teaches that Satan is alive and he's active and he's powerful, even though he's nowhere close to as powerful as God, and even though his defeat is certain. God only permits him to do so much. But the Bible teaches that he is witty. He's deceptive. He has many snares and schemes. And he sends fiery darts at us. He knows human nature. He knows our weaknesses. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He hinders the work of the gospel, and he's trying to devour us like a roaring lion. Satan and his kingdom is a major source of temptation. The world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the very real sources of temptation you need to be aware of. And in this petition, we ask God both to protect us from them altogether or to deliver us from them if and when we are tempted. Are you aware of these temptations, these common sources according to Scripture? They can come from inside or outside of you, from self or from Satan. And they're often hard to detect. And yet we're not left in the dark because the Bible warns us about them. The Bible also gives us hope and encourages us that God can protect us and God can deliver us from temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful, and he'll not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So we need to recognize the reality of temptation. We need to recognize and be aware of its sources. But we also need to recognize that it's not above God's ability to protect and deliver us from. As children of God, we are always able by his power to be delivered from temptation, to fight and resist it. And that's one of the reasons why we're called to pray this prayer. And so I want us to consider third this morning, the fighting of temptation. The fighting of temptation. Now, as we've said with all of the petitions, we need to pursue that which we pray for. We need to seek what we ask the Father for, as he instructs us in his word. And the same is true with this petition. To pray this calls us also to pursue this in our lives, to seek to resist temptation, knowing that God will answer that prayer and he will help us. We need to fight sin and Satan, not on our own strength or in our own ways, but by God's. And so how do we do that? How do we fight temptation? How do we seek to be led away from it? Well, we could really spend hours on this point, but I want us to just consider a few ways. First of all, we need to watch. Watch for temptation. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." Watch. And this word watch that's often used in Scripture is the word used as for a soldier who is on guard, who needs to watch, who is on high alert, looking for any signs of danger, any signs of the enemy. And friends, so much temptation could be avoided if we were just awake and watchful, if we were watching for it. This includes watching our own lives and being aware of our weaknesses and the ways in which we're often tempted and we often fall. Watch. Watch and also pray. Pray. And you might think that's obvious, but this is precisely what Jesus is teaching us to do here. To pray against temptation. To fight it with prayer. Calling upon the help of your Father. Asking your Father to protect and deliver you. R.C. Sproul once said, "I believe this petition should be on the lips of every believer every day." Pray against temptation. Are you praying against temptation, people of God? Think through certain situations and weaknesses, perhaps at the beginning of the day or the day before. Anticipate how you may be tempted and ask God for specific help to fight that temptation, to be led away from that temptation. Watch and pray, and also use God's word. God's word. His word identifies sin. His word calls sin what it is. His word transforms your mind. It is the sword of the Spirit. It rebukes and corrects and warns us. It gives us the armor of God for our fight against sin. It cuts to the heart. It drives you to Jesus Christ. And so use the word of God in your fight against sin. Study it. Memorize it. Show up and be ready to hear it preached. Jesus fought temptation and Satan with the word of God, with Scripture. He fought falsehood with the truth. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so fight temptation with God's means, the word of God. Also, surround yourself with the body of Christ, with the army of God. On your own, cut off from God's people, cut off from accountability and counsel and faithful teaching and preaching and shepherding and fellowship, you're an easy target. If you're not surrounded by the body of Christ, you're an easy target for temptation. And think about how many animals by instinct know that they're safer when they're surrounded by others. They just know by instinct that there's strength in numbers. Well, when God's children distance themselves from God's family, they're asking for trouble. They're trying to fight alone. And that is risky and foolish. Don't do that. Belong to a body of Christ. Worship and pray with them. Seek their help and their support and their shepherding as you continue to battle temptation and sin in your pilgrim life. Don't fight alone. And then finally, well, I guess I have two more. Second to last, fight temptation also by staying away from it. Avoiding all occasion for it as far as it depends on you. And realize how foolish it would be to ask God to not lead you into temptation and then walk straight into it yourself. Stay away from temptation. Stay far away from it. Spurgeon once told the story of when he was seeking a new coach driver and he was interviewing men for the position. And he asked the candidates how close they could get to a drop-off in the road. And the first one said, well, I bet I could get about 2 feet away. The second one said, I could come within 6 inches. And the last one said, why would I want to get close to the cliff? I would stay as far away from it as possible. The choice, said Spurgeon, was obvious. But we flirt with sin, don't we, and temptation. We think we can get close and we won't slip and fall. And we ask the wrong question, how close can I get, rather than how far away can I run? And that's just plain foolish. Stay away from temptation. Run the opposite direction. That is not legalism. That's not pessimism. It's wisdom. It's safety. It's biblical Christian living by God's grace. And then finally, this is my final way in which we can fight temptation, even though there's many, many more. Fight temptation by fighting it. Fight temptation. Yes, that's redundant and obvious. But some give up without hardly a fight. Or they so quickly lose hope and they don't think God can help. And so they stop trying. They stop fighting. The Bible uses strong language. It says, mortify the flesh. Kill what is earthly in you. And this calls for all-out war, for fighting temptation, fighting sin. As John Owen said, be killing sin or it will be killing you. Jesus said earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Jesus is serious about sin. The Bible takes sin seriously. It calls us to fight it. Are you fighting sin? Brothers and sisters, fight sin even as you pray, asking your Father to lead you away from sin and temptation. Watch. Pray. Use God's word. Surround yourself with the church. Stay away from all temptation to sin and fight. And keep fighting in the strength of God. But the most important thing to do as you fight and as you pray, this is how I want to end this morning, is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep in mind the conqueror of temptation. This is our fourth and final truth I want you to consider. Who is it that conquered temptation and can deliver you from temptation and the evil one? Look once more at verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. How can we have any hope to be delivered from the evil one? To overcome and avoid temptation, to expect God to answer this prayer. How is it? Well, it's because Jesus came to conquer the tempter. He came and he withstood every temptation and he emerged victorious. Hebrews 4 says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus was tempted just as you are. In fact, way beyond what you are and what you could imagine. But he never once caved. He never once fell into sin. Unlike Adam, unlike you and me and all mankind, he never once gave in. He was perfect. Satan tempted him in the wilderness again and again. And in the wilderness, he was all alone. He was hungry. He was tired. He was weak. But one by one, he responded with God's truth, with God's word, without sinning, with turning away from temptation and sin, overcoming temptation and the tempter. He was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was betrayed. Tempted to not go through with the cross, to not lay down his life. But he watched and prayed. He fought. He said, Father, your will be done. And shortly later, he let himself be arrested, even though he could have called legions of angels. And he said, the scripture must be fulfilled. He willingly went to the cross. And Pastor Bruce talked about this earlier. There on the cross, he was mocked. He was taunted. He was told, save yourself and come down from the cross. What temptations he faced. But he held his ground. He stayed the course for you. Jesus taught us to pray this way because he knew the power of Satan. He knew the power of sin. He was speaking from experience. But he also knew that he would be the answer to this prayer. By laying down his life and by never once sinning, by rising again, he would and could crush temptation and crush Satan, as was promised way back in Genesis 3:15. In order to crush Satan's head, Jesus' heel would be bruised. He would suffer. And he would sacrifice. He would lay down his life. But this would destroy, and this has destroyed, Satan and his work. And so he never gave in. He won the victory. He conquered Satan. And brothers and sisters, this is why there is hope for you and me. To be delivered from sin and temptation. And some of you may be listening this morning thinking, there is no hope. There's no hope for me. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know how I've been falling again and again and again. And that's just not true. There is hope. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But Jesus is alive. He has won. He is the conqueror. Fix your eyes on Him, not on your own weakness, not on the power of Satan. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He can deliver you even now from evil and from the evil one. He will fully and finally answer this prayer for all of God's children one day. He has promised victory. He said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee you. Jesus conquered the tempter and all temptation, and He is alive in you by His Spirit. He's united to you. And it is He who teaches you to pray this. It is He Himself who will deliver you. And so, brothers and sisters, have hope and have courage. Pray and fight. Jesus is alive. He is reigning. He's coming again. He's conquered sin and death and Satan. Pray and fix your eyes on Him. The Father will help you. He will lead you from temptation and deliver you. And I want to close this morning with the words from Jude 24 and 25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Teach us to pray this and live this in faith, looking to Christ, who answers this prayer, and who has crushed Satan, who will deliver us. Lord, help us to take sin seriously. Help us to go to You daily seeking forgiveness, but also seeking help in the fight. Lord, sanctify us. Lead us away from temptation. Help us to abhor sin and all that would lead us away from You. Lead us in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake and for Your glory. Give us faith. Help us to fix our eyes on Christ. Help us to be aware of our weakness and His power. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.